When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Talking Real Money, the radio show. And
oh, there you are.
Hey,
okay. You weren't there.
Well,
for
you
a minute.
Weren't there for a minute.
Sorry about that. That was my
both
bad.
Of us weren't there for a minute, apparently. Yeah. Okay, well, let's start over.
The future.
We're starting
okay,
over.
Go.
Let's pretend that didn't happen. Hello, and welcome to Talking Real Money, the show about your dough, because we believe that there's very little you deal with that's more important than money. And like some of you complain, we are just a bunch of simpletons here, just a couple of simple guys talking about simple ways to manage money. And the problem is we can't find anything but simple. We just can't. Simple is the right way to manage money. Complicated is wrong. So we're going to be simpletons. That's the way it works. And if you want some simple answers to your complex questions, give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255.
That's fascinating because I just had a guy in a couple of days ago, and he said he has someone he works with that I'll just say Edward Jones, and he says the guy just purposely, he talks purposely over his head, like, you don't know about this, blah, 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 blah. And he said, I love the fact that you guys just sort of put it out there straight. And the reality is, really, it should be straight. what's your phrase? It's too simple to be this complicated.
It's too easy to be this complicated. Like, yeah, it really is. Okay, it should be simpler.
And people make it more complex.
And
we get
some reviewers that say, well, the show is just too simplistic.
I never saw
one. Yeah.
I saw a lot of complaints about you.
Oh, well, there's always a complaint about me, particularly from crypto people. They hate me. And insurance agents.
I think they
and real estate
do.
Agents.
Insurance. Yeah, the list is long
brokers.
And distinguished. So
wow. I think it's time to retire. I'm getting a little depressed.
Lining
now.
Them up.
But it really is simple. It's just so simple. And that simplicity was so clearly pointed out in an article I read this week from, I believe it may be the highest subscription number magazine in the world. And that is AARP, the magazine.
Do you get it? Do you get the printed version?
I used to. No, I don't know that I'm a member. I think I let my membership lapse. Because what?
You got too old to be even a member of AARP anymore? Is that what happens?
I don't know. I can't keep up with all the memberships and subscriptions I have. So I may have let that one go because, well, I never used it for anything, you know?
You didn't get a discount at the theater or anything, or
you know, all you have to do, you tell them, you just tell them you're old. They don't even need an AARP membership.
Actually, Don, I hate to break it to you, you just show up.
I just show up. They look at this face. They go, "Oh, he definitely qualifies. He qualifies." But anyway, there was a great, wonderful piece on the role that risk plays in your portfolio, and what's fascinating about it. Is it says exactly what we've been saying.
Yeah, I mean, the title says it: Investing for the Nervous Investor. I love this. And here's the opening paragraph, which I think just encapsulates everything we've been trying to say for 30 years. Want absolute, nearly 100% protection for your retirement money? Secretly stall an immovable, indestructible safe in a dark corner of your home and put the cash in there. Now, that sounds great, right? But the author points out that if you do that in 20 years, that $100 you put in there only buys stuff that's worth about $54 in those 20
years. So it shrunk. Right? So it got smaller.
It shrunk. It felt great. It's losing money safely. But what the author does, and somebody we've known for a long time, is walk through the things you can do that will be safe, 100%
yeah, that's the
safe,
thing. It's about degrees of safety, and I want to interrupt the conversation of things to do by defining what we mean by safety, because we think about safety in different ways, and one of the biggest ways people think about safety is the fact that that they don't want to lose anything. You know, they don't want to lose. I don't want to lose. Well, you can't. That kind of safety is where you don't get anything. You can't get any money. The safety we're talking about is reducing volatility.
The people have a tendency to look at stock markets, for example, and believe it's an all or nothing proposition, because it can be if you pick individual stocks or time markets or buy into something that's designed to make you a lot of money but could lose you a lot of money. That can happen. Yeah, you could go to zero. There's no question. But you really shouldn't.
And these
strategies really shouldn't be invested in any of those.
Don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, and the first one he mentions is one that we just mentioned at RetireMeet a couple of times, which is now available online, I believe. The video. TalkingRealMoney.com.
Yes,
right?
It is there. Go to TalkingRealMoney.com. Scroll down a little bit among the buttons there. I love buttons because buttons let you go right to a thing. There's a button that says, Watch RetireMeet 10. You can watch it.
It's right there. And here's what the author says. Wouldn't it be nice to own an annuity? Wait for it. That one is annually adjusted for inflation.
Yes, that'd be lovely.
That sounds
good.
Number two is guaranteed to pay you for life. That sounds really good. Number three may provide a survivor benefit for your spouse. I got to use that word language at home. I may provide a survivor benefit for you. I may not, but I may. Actually, she told me as I was walking out the door today, she said, I'm going to be listening, so you better be good.
Uh-oh.
Number
Uh-oh.
Four. Doors may be
locked,
maybe changed.
Good to see you.
Number
it's
four
all his fault.
High annual increases no matter what the stock market does. And then the author correctly points out, you do have that. It's called Social Security.
Oh.
And yet so few people get that easy one right, because if you check the box there, you're really in a great place. I ran the numbers again today because I was curious, okay? So you have to wait to get the bigger benefit, right?
It
goes up after full
70.
Retirement age by 8% a year after full retirement age, but basically 7% or so from 62 to 70. We'll give you the numbers in a minute. It's fascinating what a difference it makes on an annual basis.
So we have a safe way to do all those things. And then we want to talk a little bit about the reasonably safe things you can do, all of which make a lot of sense and are, sorry to say, seriously simple.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
In medicine, a second opinion might save your life. With investing, a second opinion might save your future. The trick is getting one without a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, I'm Don McDonald, and if you've been listening to Talking Real Money, you know that our goal is to help everyone create a brighter future by investing and managing money better. That's why, in addition to helping everyone on our show and podcast, we are also committed to making our 100% fiduciary advisors at Appella available to help everyone make the best financial decisions based on science. So if you're being pitched a financial product or a system, make sure you get a second opinion with no cost, no obligation, and no annoying sales pitch by going to TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. That's 800-386-3004 or TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
We talk about this because you need to understand money better than you understand almost anything in life, because it's what fuels your existence. So give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, and we'll try to make money a lot easier to understand and to deal with. And today we're talking about risk. And understanding risk. And risk is really easy to both understand and to mitigate, to manage, if you accept that investing should not be gambling.
And the author of this piece
Take the gambling out.
This is investing for the nervous investor, and he starts with a critical part of retirement that I just think too many people overlook. It's still less than 10% of people wait until age 70 to claim Social Security, which is an easy way to mitigate risk because you get a guaranteed amount, you get a raise, you get a little boost for inflation, and as the article pointed out, you can leave this to your significant other. But let me give you the actual numbers because I ran this again today for someone who will be full retirement age here in about 5 months. If that person claims Social Security at full retirement age, the annual benefit is $42,650, which sounds pretty good. But if they wait a little over 3 years, 3.5 years, the full age 70, $56,460 a month. So in other words, you get an almost $15,000 a year raise waiting those 3 years. Now you're going to say, what do I do in those the interim if I retire? And I'm going to say maybe pull money from other places. But Social Security is overlooked.
There you go.
Overlooked.
Or work part-time for a little longer.
Do something.
Do something because it's such a gigantic raise. And it's such a wonderful way to get what we really aren't supposed to say, but essentially is risk-free returns.
Which is almost impossible to get. Now, the author does go on and mention a couple of things, how not to stay safe, right? These are things we've mentioned before. Gold, cryptocurrency, high yields. I'll just get big money.
Yeah, but they're pitched as safe. Yeah. No, but the point is he's saying they are pitched to people as safe. Gold, crypto as a stable place to put your, come on.
And billions.
It's about as unstable.
And high yields, again, dangerous. But okay, but let's talk about the actual investing part because that's why people want to hear us on the radio and talk to us in person, et cetera, et cetera. And what does he suggest? Well, part one is, and you've talked about this a lot, Don, is you've got to understand yourself and then you've got to make the commitment after you understand what you're trying to do. In other words, what rate of return you're trying to achieve, how much volatility you're willing to accept the pain with the good times, right? But then once you do that, you have to invest it properly and you have to be willing to forget about all the stuff that's going on. There's always, I mean, this year, I guess it's the election, right? I'm sure that'll be coming up here soon. People telling us I'm not investing until after the election because why would I do that?
I'm not investing until after. We hear that all the time. Until things calm down.
But you got to make the commitment. Step two, he says, is then to make the safe part of your investment. Now, he recommends buying a U.S. government bond. I'm going to recommend just buying, if you have to, a government bond fund. There are lots of them out there. You can get them for almost nothing. And most of them now are paying, 3.5-4% a year, right? Today.
Very nice return.
And there may be some capital gains in there later in the year if the Federal Reserve lives up to their 3 promised rate cuts, which seem to be going back on every day. Wasn't it like 7 at one time or 6 or 5 or 4?
This is why I say we shouldn't even try. Why do we keep trying?
It's kind of sad that people predict it. So now you've got Social Security strategy figured out. Done. Check. Boom. Then you've got the safe part,
I
think that's the stable part. And this is an important thing to overlook, is the bonds, the safe part, is not designed to make you rich. It's designed to keep your money and hold you in place when bad things happen.
And it's not designed to create your only source of income in retirement. A lot of people think, I need all of my portfolio to generate the income I need in retirement. That is wrong-headed thinking.
We see it on a very regular basis. Number three step, he says, invest in the market. Absolutely love this. Put the balance of your initial investment in a low-cost stock fund and forget about it for 10 years. You got to love that, right? I mean, because that's the key to investing. The money goes in. Don't check it every 10 minutes.
Put it in. Leave it alone. And then there are some portfolio balancing things we'll get to. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. And Tom, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Good afternoon, Don and Tom. I'm looking to help out my 80-year-old mother-in-law with her finances. My father-in-law passed away last year, and he had been taking care of their investing And now my mother-in-law has no idea or opinion on how to proceed. So I'm just trying to help her out, and I'm hoping that you guys can steer me a little bit here. So little history on them. My father-in-law had taken out annuities in their IRAs back in 2007 when they retired, and they finally came to an end just this past year. So they have a combined value of $270,000, which is now sitting in an IRA money market account, currently earning 3%. They had these annuities with American Equity, and so it's in their money market account currently. Besides the IRA funds, she approximately has $145,000 in her savings bank account and several thousand dollars sitting in a checking account, earning next to nothing. Her home and vehicle are paid off, and monthly expenses are just under $4,000, and her monthly income comes to just over $1,000. So she's a break even.
Just over how much you cut out?
How much a month is she bringing in?
How much is she bringing in?
She brings in $4,300 a month, approximately. And
her expenses are $4,000.
It's $4,000, so it's like a break even between the two.
A
little bit extra, so she's in good shape there. So she doesn't need the money from the IRA, other than taking the RMD each year. And what I was thinking about doing with her was talking to her about setting up in a high-yield savings account with someone like American Express. I think they're currently paying 4.3%, and just tying it into her bank account so she could move money back and forth if she sees fit.
Okay, let's stop you right there real quick, Tom, okay? Because I think that's a good idea for the cash, or as I would call it, savings part, the $145,000. That's fine. You could do a money market. There's all kinds of things that are paying a reasonable rate today. Then that brings us back to the $270,000 that's in an IRA, an individual retirement account. Just talked to a gentleman yesterday, very similar situation, where I told him, just how about a nice target date fund? I mean, Vanguard's got a great 2025 target date fund that I took a look at that is about half in stocks, half in bonds. The idea here is you keep a little bit ahead of inflation. You're not trying to get rich, and you take your RMD out every year, and your mother-in-law could do something more special with that if she wanted to, because it's not money that she needs to keep the lights on.
Yeah, and its sheer simplicity is very, very attractive. In that it also gets her out from under the thumb of the brokerage industry and the people who get big commissions and generally don't do a great job. So I would say a target date fund, of like a 2020 target date fund, or even a 2015, going back a little while to keep it conservative. But I think that would be a great way to go. And then the high yield savings.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And you have a standing invitation to call us on Saturdays at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don. Tom's over there, and we're just thousands of miles apart. But let's go now to Fred. Fred, it's your turn. Welcome to the show. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I have a question for you. I'm a new listener. I've been listening to your podcast now for a few weeks. I'm 57. I have a decent retirement. It's being actively managed. I just started up with Wells Fargo just after COVID started. Uh-huh. It's doing all right as far as returns. They're about expected. But the looking at their fees every time just kills me. And so I'm wondering, because I've heard on a couple of your podcasts saying when you're about my age, that's sometimes a good time to have a financial advisor or not. So I'm not sure which.
No, that's often a very good time to have a financial advisor. But the trick is getting a good one. And
we're not supportive of what the work that they do at Wells Fargo in a general sense.
Yeah. Let me tell you the differences here. Wells Fargo is what is known as a duly registered firm, which means they're FINRA registered, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority registered, and they're SEC registered. FINRA registered financial people are held to a lower standard than are SEC registered investment advisors. Now, they can be either one. They can play either role. And several years ago, I actually made up two hats, one that said 100% fiduciary and one that said in your best interests only, because they can pick which hat they want to wear. So what you want is somebody who is a 100% all the time fiduciary. They never accept commissions for anything. And that's the big question to ask. Does your firm accept commissions?
And how are you paying them today, Fred?
It's just right off the top. I'm not paying them a check. They take it out of the account.
Yeah. Okay, so they're okay. What's the fee they're charging? Do you know?
It's 1%.
Are you sure? Sometimes they say
1%.
Sometimes they say it.
And how about the funds that they have you in? Give us one fund that they have purchased for you.
I actually don't have the list with me. I'm out here.
Can you remember any of them? Even the fund group?
Name, rank, serial number, any of them? And it doesn't really,
it's
no.
Okay. It's funny, though.
I'm honestly drawing it from.
It's okay. No. It's totally fine.
I'm around a 60-40 split.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on a stock bond split of about 60-40. And the reason I'm saying it is 1% and I haven't found anything hidden is because I have an annual summary of all the fees. And I just did the math as far as dividing the fee cost versus the value of the entire
portfolio. I know that Wells Fargo's fees, according to their ADV, can go as high as 2.5%.
And beyond that, the reason I ask about the fund expenses is because, okay, if you hire a fee-only advisor, paying 1% is not an unreasonable amount. But then that fee-only advisor should put you in low-cost exchange-traded funds or mutual funds that cost like 0.11. I'm betting you dollars to donuts that the funds that
and he's
you
putting
have
up
with
the
Wells
dollars.
Fargo, because I don't have the donuts, for sure. It's going to be 0.5% or more for the fund expenses. This is the part that people have a tendency to overlook. So in total, my guess is you're paying 1.5% or 1.6% a year. Do I think that's too high? Absolutely. Do I want an actively managed strategy? No, because we can find nothing about anyone who's been able to sort of actively manage in the past and either do better than the markets or, frankly, most of them do far worse because they predict things like interest rates or outcomes of any kind geopolitically, and they don't know. So it makes more sense to be a more passive type of portfolio, proper asset allocation, low cost, tax efficient, and forget about somebody who is actively managing.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it any better. So you need to know more about what they're doing.
Right.
And
are those passive funds the ones?
Well, the passive funds would be things like from Vanguard or Fidelity or
Dimensional
or ETFs from iShares or whomever. Yep. But they would not be. And I'll just throw you some names. If you see the name PIMCO, if you see the name Oppenheimer, Invesco, Franklin, Templeton, you see any of those names in that portfolio or anything actively managed, then you're going to see that you are paying way too much in total fees and expenses. Thank you so much for the call. We hope to hear from you again. Our number is 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
We love talking with you at 855-935-TALK every single Saturday. Well, except last year, Christmas Day. I think we didn't do that one.
I think we missed one. This is our March Madness edition, it's just crazy. You never know what's going to happen.
Do you?
Okay. I'm in the backhand three-pointers.
Do you pay
bingo.
Any attention to basketball.
Yeah, I have a bracket that's already been
busted. That's why I don't play with those things.
I have no idea.
Because then I don't need to watch.
Yeah, well, and you know, I put the same amount into that as I put into crypto every day. So I'll be okay.
Oh, good.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, welcome back. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. And Randy, it is your turn.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Randy.
How are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
We're here.
Oh, okay. There you are. So, in reality, I live in Washington State, which is not inexpensive, by the way. And I just sold my home for about $1.8 million, so I pocketed about $1.6. And I put 95% of that into the embargoed in the money market for right now. And I'm looking at retiring in at 70 in about a year and a half. And right now, talking with them, we're looking at putting it in ETFs and the bonds at about a 75 to 25.
Talking to them, talking to whom?
To a financial advisor.
And what was the ticker you gave us that you said you're putting it in something? I couldn't understand you.
Right now, I'm hold on a second.
You sound a little like the teacher from Peanuts, but Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Yeah.
A little muffled. Yeah, that helps.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is that better?
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had you on my earpiece. Basically, I'm collecting about $6,000 a month in interest until I decide what I'm going to do. And I plan on still buying something to live in, and I have until July or August to do that. And my question is that if I take out a half of that, basically, in order to buy something to live in, would it still be worthwhile putting it in ETFs, or would I just put it in bonds?
You could still use ETFs. You would just use more conservative ETFs. If the money is going to be used in a relatively short period of time, the rule of thumb is you don't risk it in the stock market.
Well, I think maybe you making sure we're understanding. You're saying take 800 of the 1.6. That I would set that aside for the home purchase. I wouldn't invest that at all, except in a money market. Then the other 8. Okay. Should be invested in, you know, something that's going to provide a return of some kind. How much return do you need on that? How much volatility can you accept?
And getting advice is great. It just depends on from whom the advice comes. Now, do you know any of the products that this financial advisor might suggest to you to use?
No, I really haven't talked about small caps, large caps.
Do you know?
No, we're not. We're talking about the fund,
the actual
family,
names of the fund families or ETF families.
No, no.
Have they talked to you about fees and commissions?
It's going to be basically a quarterly billing, and it's about $3,000 a year.
On the 800?
On the 1.4.
Trying to figure out the math there because that'd be like
one of the lowest fees in the industry.
Yeah, I want to see that on paper, Randy. Here's what I do. All right, we're getting ahead of ourselves. All right, number one, any good advisor before we even get to this point is going to say, okay, what's the purpose of this money? As I said, how much are you trying to make on it? How much risk, et cetera? They're going to build a plan first. The plan is going to then help decide how much, as Don said, in the riskier things, how much in the less risky things. But that wouldn't be the first thing. And number two, I would immediately ask for two things. Their investment advisory agreement, because that's going to tell you what you're going to have to pay. And then their ADV, because that will tell you how they charge. That will tell you who they are. That will tell you what they believe. Every advisor, again, would hand that to you. Not a problem. It's like because it's an official document. Everybody has it. It's easy. Some even put it right up on their website. I would want those two things, and I would want to understand it very clearly. As Don said, this is a moment that you are, for the lack of better expression, in play. In other words, advisors are going, hey, look at this, rubbing their hands together. Mm-hmm. 800,000 we can manage. Let's figure out how we'll do that. So important time for you, Randy, no question.
Yeah, you got to vet them very carefully. Go to talkingrealmoney.com/help. There are some tools there that will help you do just that. Thank you so much for the call. I wish you well. 855-935-TALK is our number. We'll be right back.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you suffer from hodgepodgeitis? I'm Don McDonald, and hodgepodgeitis is a disease of your investment portfolio whose symptoms include lots of stocks, loads of random loaded mutual funds, and maybe an annuity or two. Most who suffer from hodgepodgeitis dread opening their quarterly portfolio statements. They feel lost and confused. Investing seems overwhelming and the financial future uncertain. If you believe you suffer from hodgepodgeitis, see a 100% fiduciary investment advisor immediately. A proper diagnosis is the first step to creating a portfolio with a purpose based on a personal plan. Start on the road to recovery now by scheduling a free meeting with an Appella advisor at TalkingRealMoney.com. There is no cost, obligation, or high-pressure sales pitch. Take the first step at TalkingRealMoney.com or call 800-386-3004. Hodgepodgeitis is not a real disease, but treating it has been shown to improve mood, reduce fear, and even lead to a brighter financial future. Results may vary.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to our program, Talking Real Money, which is what we do. It's the name and it's what we do. Don McDonald here in Florida, Tom there in the Seattle area, you there, wherever you are from coast to coast. Give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Tom, your turn. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Oh, thank you for taking my questions. My daughter just recently went through a divorce, and part of the divorce settlement was a cash out of her a payout from her husband's retirement that she was qualified to, he had to share with her. So she has about $70,000, and she's wondering what to do with it. So I thought I would tap you guys to get some direction, other than to have her just walk into an investment place. And
I think that's good advice. Don't have her walk in, because we know bad things can happen. So is this a quadro? Is this like a qualified distribution, or is this just a regular brokerage type account, or do you know?
What they did is in order to not touch the retirement monies, the husband did a cash payout of the same amount from the sale of the home.
Okay, so this is just a regular, like, amount of money. It's not in a qualified plan. That's what I was trying to get to. I mean, I guess the next question is, what does she need the money for in the relative short term, say 1 to 5 years?
She wanted to try to keep the money available in case she wanted to buy or something. She currently, obviously, they sold their home and split the profits. And then she has moved into a rental. In the meantime, she anticipates being in a rental for up to 5 years. She's a government civil service employee, and she's in her early 40s. So,
well, if the money might be used in a five-year time frame, then we would be remiss to suggest you do anything other than keep it relatively safe. And probably the best way to do that is just with a very simple bond ETF, something like BND at Vanguard, which is the total bond portfolio currently yielding in the 4% range. I mean, it's not going to make her rich, but it also, it's not, unless interest rates rise dramatically, it's unlikely to lose money along the way. And even then, it tends to be relatively stable. So I think that's probably one of the better places to park it. It's either that or a ladder.
Or a money market of some kind. I mean, the only thing about the money market being
limited. Yeah, but 5 years for a money market is, the rate changes too quickly.
But you would just simply go to either a Schwab.com or a Vanguard.com, transfer the money in there, and as Don said, you could buy the Vanguard Total Bond, BND. Or she could buy something shorter term if she wanted to. But I think that option would be great. Again, the realistic aspect is you're not trying to make a lot of money here because you're keeping it for something that may come up in the next 5 years. But if you can make 3 or 4% a year, and maybe, hopefully, a little capital appreciation along the way, which may or may not be coming. But I think that, Tom, would be the right aspect for somebody in their early 40s trying to hang on to the money, not mess around with it, and, as Don said, not take any real risk with that.
High risk. There's always risk in everything we do.
Beyond 5 years, where would you park it?
Well, if there's some of it that's going beyond 5 years, that's when we start looking at putting that away for
if
retirement.
If I was going to do something beyond, for part one, then you're right. Even though she's a government employee, I'd probably do a Roth IRA of some kind, put it in there. And with that, I would use any of the Total Global products. Dimensional's got one, DFAW. Avantis has one, AVGE. These are one fund solutions that hold thousands of stocks at a very low price. And manage them, you know, very efficiently, and you don't have to mess with it. But I mean, I think that'd be a great candidate for a Roth IRA. The first one was Dimensional Funds has a global fund called Dimensional Global Equity Fund, I believe it is, and the ticker is DFAW. And then Avantis has one that is the Avantis Global Equity Fund, AVGE. Either of those would be really good for a long-term Roth IRA with the expectation that you're making 7, 8, 9, and maybe even in good years, more than 10% a year. So that would be, I think, a great way to handle the Roth in the long haul.
Okay. So I think that, man, I've been telling her that she could probably do without using this pot of money, because she still has a pretty significant other pot of money left over from the sale of the home. After she's made herself debt free, so I think she still.
Well,
has.
If that's the case, I mean, if this is money she would not need for a house, that changes the suggestion dramatically.
Okay,
and moves us back to considering building a well diversified stock and bond portfolio with, at her age, a heavy emphasis on stocks for retirement.
Okay.
With the two aforementioned global fund.
Yeah, those same funds, those global equity funds.
And then just using the bond fund that Don mentioned, the BND for balance.
And then using BND for the balance. And what she might want to do is go to talkingrealmoney.com and take the risk quiz there, RISQUIZ. And that'll kind of give her an idea of how much she can comfortably hold in stocks for her tolerance for risk.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it does. I think that pretty much answers the question. Trying to get her off on the right path here to rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, and she does not need a financial advisor at this point. I mean, I don't see it.
No.
And again, this is one of the problems. Well, I came into this money. I need an advisor. You know, with $70,000, there's so many great products, low cost, that'll be taking care of themselves. You don't need to walk into a local brokerage and have somebody sell you something that, frankly, you do not need.
You can even take it one step simpler. If simplicity is the key, and just use a target date fund and go out to, what would that be, like 2050?
Yeah, 25 years, sure. I worry a little bit about that in a taxable account, but, you know, again, with your taxes in this situation, it's probably not a big deal.
It's not, depends
on
bracket.
Would you pay the taxes now and with the expectations of taxes going up in the future?
I would really consider putting a little of this money in a Roth every year.
That would be, I think, if you have long-term money, she can put the $7,000 a year into the Roth IRA. And by the way, right now she can still do 2023 and 2024. So you could put $14,000 into a Roth on Monday. So that'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be brilliant.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that answers everything. I'll call you back with my retirement plans next week.
Thanks,
sounds
Tom.
Good. We'll be here.
Appreciate it.
Almost every Saturday. Well,
The other thing with her, my wife and I are over age 65, and she's been designated as our executor in our estate. Mm-hmm. So she has other future funds coming from that direction.
Well, we hope it's not imminent.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we hope it's a long way down the road, though.
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping so, too.
Good. We're on the same team there.
Thanks,
Tom.
Thanks so much, Tom. Take care of yourself. 855-935-TALK. That's our phone number, 855-935-8255. This whole process is actually a really simple one. If you are in the beginning phases, you don't need help. If you just have a few resources at your disposal, many of which we try to make available to you, understand your tolerance for risk, understand your need to take risk, and then build a portfolio commensurate with that, even if it's just something as simple as a target date fund, or Paul Merriman would like it if we said target date fund and a small cap value fund.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And before, what are you talking about?
I'm thinking about dinner, and when they're in the break, I was looking up.
You're thinking about dinner?
I was looking
dinner?
At my favorite Chinese place, and I'm looking at the menu going, this doesn't seem right. It seems a lot different. And I realize it's a place in Ohio. So unless I order soon, it's not going to show up. So.
Yeah, even then, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be there.
Think so. Anyway, pardon me. Yeah. Pay better attention.
All right. Well, before we were rudely interrupted by the Chinese food order from Ohio, we were talking a little bit about risk and how you can very easily manage risk by diversifying the heck out of your portfolio.
Yeah, and most people just don't do this. They have a tendency, pardon me to pick on you, but you have a tendency to own individual stocks. Still, more people have more money in individual stocks than mutual funds or exchange-traded funds. Always shocks me. Number two, even the people invest in stocks have a tendency to just own... Well, I'm the S&P 500. I'm diversified. No, you're not. You're missing over 10,000 stocks if you are, and a lot of returns. And then they have a tendency to not know how much risk they are taking, because if your portfolio is concentrated in something, or if it's mostly in stocks, you could lose a lot of money. So you really, the super, and this comes from the article we started the hour with, safer stock investing involves owning thousands of companies. You got to own small companies. You got to have value companies. You got to have international companies. And you got to find them. And if they're not in your 401k, then you got to go outside of the 401k and buy them. And if they're not there, you got to get them in your Roth.
Wait, that's a great point, by the way. This is why you need to have multiple types of accounts, both taxables and IRAs and Roths or whatever you're eligible for, along with your 401k at work, because sometimes your choices in your 401k at work are
not very good. Yeah, so you really need to, but you gotta, and this is part of your money. We talked about the one super safe way to be okay, and that's claim Social Security correctly. The second one is to have the right kind of fixed income or bonds. And the third part is really having the stock investing down to own all these asset classes. We just mentioned a couple of funds where basically you can have all of them in one fund. Then you don't have to be any fancier than that.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. So,
right. You can have all the equity asset classes and have the tilt that we would like to see most people have in their portfolio with the Avantis or the dimensional ETFs that Tom mentioned. You can also just get your total portfolio diversification that's set on autopilot.
That's the other part of all this that didn't get mentioned in the article, but should. The people that allow money to be taken out of their income, for example, put into 401k on an automated basis, disciplined, where they don't have to do anything, they end up with far more money than the people that rely on themselves to write a check to put it away. Because when you write a check, the cat's in the cradle. It just never happens. It's you got to pay for the refrigerator or the whatever, and then the money never gets there. The automated disciplined approach works better.
And not only does the auto disciplined approach work when it comes to putting money away on a regular basis, but you can also, as we mentioned to the previous caller, put your money in a target date fund and let the fund adjust the level of risk you're taking depending on your age. Now, it's not perfect because the risk adjustment is dependent on your age. The other thing you can do, and this would be very wise, you want to kind of get started with a plan. You want to understand where you are right now. We had a lot of people who didn't know where they were in their portfolio. It was like, I don't know what I own. You need to know that. And we can help you understand it without all of the gobbledygook that advisors like to spew to make themselves feel important and make you think they're invaluable. All you need to do is go to talkingrealmoney.com and click on the button Meet an Advisor, and you can meet with one of our advisors at Appella Wealth for free for nothing, with no cost, no obligation, no high-pressure sales pitch.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions.
Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy.
Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone.
This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction.
Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast.
Oh, I think I need a nap.